In the driveway where I live, there was a car. Sort of, I just squeezed past him, and I just started squeezing past, and then I thought, oh, I'll ask if there's a, has he got a problem? And you know, when you ask someone, you think, oh, what am I letting myself in for? And you're hoping, what am I hoping the answer is? I'm okay. Exactly. I'm all right. That's what you're hoping for. So I just gone sort of half past, and then I reverse back. I say, is everything all right? And he goes, I've run out of petrol. And I said to him, hang on a minute, don't go anywhere, as if he's going anywhere. I'll be back in a minute and I'll sort you out. I'll fill it up. So I dropped the car in. I had a can of petrol in the thing, and I'm walking back to fill him up. And I'm walking back thinking, how do people run out of petrol this day and age? You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking this kind of thing, sort of. Who runs out of petrol nowadays? Anyway, so I go along, and also in my mind I'm thinking this. I'm going to say to him, because in a way I'm just going to say, Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. So, you know, if I've broken down, this is, I would like someone to do this for me, because anyway, that's, so I turn up and I sort of start doing his petrol for him, and I said, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do to you, sort of thing, and so on and so forth. And he goes, oh yeah, that's right. And then we couldn't get the petrol, so I went off and got another gadget, so we had all these gadgets to get the petrol in. And he said, give us your number and or your address, and I can send something to you. I said, I don't want anything. I said, where do you live? He said, Brighton. So he'd run out. I thought, oh, it's quite a way. I said, why, can you go to such and such a church, St. Peter's? And he said, yeah, okay. I think he thought I went there. And he said, I have been going to church. I've just done an Alpha course. I thought, wow. So my guessing, he's just sort of started his journey as Christianity. I said, hold back then. Don't go to St. Peter's. Not because I didn't want him to go there. I said, go to the church, keep going to your church. Keep going, I said. And I said, this amount of petrol should, I hopefully, get you there. I don't know. So that's the last I saw of him. And I kind of felt quite good, you know, I've helped him out. And I thought, hopefully, he'll carry on with it. And in a sense, his testimony is going to be better than what I'm sharing with you, isn't it? Because he's going to go, and hopefully he'll be able to share that. Someone rescued me, da 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 da. And then later on, I had to go down and get Rue. And on the way down to get Rue, my petrol light came on. This is true, on the same day. I'm driving down to Rue, the petrol light comes on. I'm like, I can't believe this. It's never. I normally sort of plan my petrol in advance. My petrol's run out. Who would run out? Oh. So I'm driving down, I pick Rue up. Oh, you know what? I've got no money on me. So, and this bloke had said the same thing to me, and I'm kind of like, God's, he's having a bit of fun, but he's actually showing me a lesson here. So then we drive him back, and then the little last bar starts flashing, and me and Rue are sitting in the car like, oh man, are we going to get home? And I've only got to get home and then get down here. So, thankfully, I got home and I put petrol in. But I thought, God was telling me that it can happen to anybody. It happened to me. It happened to him. God was telling me that that man is important to him, because he had brought us together, hadn't he? Whether it was him per accident or whatever, but I came to his rescue, and I was able to sort of encourage him to keep on going in his faith. So I thought, and then God was gave me a little nudge with a smile on his face, and said, how you think of those? Well, look, it can happen to you as well. So I care for that man, and I care for you. I care for him, and just be careful of how you judge others. Yeah. So in a way, it was an interesting Friday. So that was a little story that's nothing to do with this. How are we doing? Got a really wrap on. So that was just a little testimony of what happened to me on Friday. It's quite fun, really. Right, I want to do a little set of talks on who is Jesus. And we've done names, and some of your names were the same name, different names for the same person. So we had the same. So we had Prince Charles, but his titles are Prince of Wales or Duke of Cornwall. You could say those names, it's the same person. Different titles, different names, same person. And there were a few others, I think, but just to show you where we can have different names, can be the same person. Who am I? If a stranger said to you, who's that guy at the front, what would you say? Well, you'd probably first of all just say Dave. But who am I? Who am I? So, and if they asked different people here, you'd probably have something different to say about who am I. So what might you say? Well, it might be interesting to know, really. So if a stranger asked you, what would you say? Who is he? And some of you might say, well, Dave, you know, he's about 5'7", you know, blah, 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 blah. You might describe me, or if they didn't know me, who's Dave, you might do a physical description. You might say various things about me. You'd try and paint a word picture of me, wouldn't you? So, try. And if you really wanted to know who I was, well, you could ask someone at the coffee shop. They might know a bit about me. You could ask someone in the church here. They might know a little bit more about me. You could ask my family. They might be able to tell you more about me. You could ask my wife, children. You could ask Brittany or Sandra. You know, they'd probably be able to tell you something, who Dave is. You could even ask me, who are you, Dave? And I might tell you a lovely rosy picture of who I am. And we can use all sorts of words to describe someone. Argumentative, fiery, laid back, gentle, helpful. I have all these words. I'm not saying that's me, but you know what I'm saying. We might use, often, you know, you'd say so-and-so, oh yeah, he's a fireman or a plumber. You use words to describe someone. And Wainwright, do you know what Wainwright means? Does anyone know what Wainwright means? It's a cart maker, and you have names like Thatcher, a roof maker. And when I was a baby, in my very earliest days, I had a name given to me, but I was also, my mum called me Smiler. That was my first sort of nickname, Smiler. When I was in Africa, the African rebels wanted to give me a name of their leader, who was I looked it up and I've lost my piece of paper. It was either Mulele or Simeone. There was a few names of the leaders, and I can't remember which one it was. And the rebels there wanted my mum to name me after their rebel leader. When I went to school, my nickname became Afi, because I was from Africa. So nobody would know who David Evans was, but everyone in that school would know who Afi was, because they just knew I was Afi. And, you know, they wouldn't know. If you said, oh, where's David Evans? They'd be like, what? Only the closest people would know who I was. But most, if you said, where's Afi? Oh, that's him over there. So that was my school nickname. Another nickname, what my mum used to call me, Davy Boy. And of course, my name is David, which means beloved, which when I found that out, I kind of liked. So those are names for me. But who is God? Who is God? And God is invisible, isn't he? We can't see God, so you can't describe him. He's like 6'6" or something. He's invisible. And religions in the past, paganism had many gods, and I have a whole list here. They'd have a god for all sorts of things. They'd have a god. Let me just blast through a few. Eidos, wind and air, ether. You've heard of ether, haven't you? Ether? No? The wind and the air. The atmosphere. Alastor, Apollo. Apollo, music, poetry and art. Ares, god of war. This is the Greeks' gods. I've looked them up. And in Acts, they had a ship and they sailed on it, and it said, and on the front were the two gods, the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. They were Greek gods. And they were the figureheads in Acts. And they became the, supposed to have become the stars Gemini. There's the god Chaos. God Chaos. That's the god between heaven and earth. Kronos, god of time. Kronos. Eros, sexual desire and attraction. Hades, god of the dead. Yeah, god of the dead. King of the underworld. Pan, god of nature. Poseidon, god of the sea. Tartarus, god of the deep abyss. Zeus, god of, he was like the god of gods, god of sky, lightning, law, justice, kingdom. They had many gods with many realms, many different places that they ruled. But what do we have? We have one God who rules all those things. So we don't have lots of gods. So we don't go out to the, you know, your garden and say, to the God of my garden, I give you a sacrifice. And to the God of that mountain, I sacrifice. Because they would have different gods. We have one God with many realms. But one of the titles I want to look at, and I'm going to, what I would like to do over a few times is to pick up different names of gods. So we have in Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will be called Emmanuel. So this is the first title, Emmanuel. And in Matthew, it picks up on that. That was in Isaiah. And in Matthew, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. Now, they didn't. He wasn't actually named Emmanuel, was he? But in a way, they were given that title of who he was. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And you can either look at it like this, you could. God walked around, like God, you know, you might say, oh, God was with me in that situation. Or, literally, God was walking amongst them. God, this is God. And that was the title given to Jesus, God with us. It was very hard for the Jews to sort of get hold of this because God was always very distant. You couldn't even say his name. You couldn't write it down. You had to skip letters out to write his name. And then now they were saying, this baby is God with you. Very hard to deal with. And when I want to read this section from the Bible in Colossians, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It's a bit like the reading that Viv read this morning in John. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. So Saint Jesus was actually right back in the beginning. But not in his body like he was born. Jesus existed right in the beginning. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So all those gods the Greeks were worshipping, he made all those. If I can put it, all those domains, it says, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. And all that massive creation, heaven, earth, all the domains, nature, And then it suddenly comes in, he is the head of the body of the church. It comes right down to us. It's amazing that we're that important. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Now, what I noticed when I was looking at the Greek mythology, all they had was you lived on this earth, you died, and then you went into another existence, the underworld, or the light, Hades. And that was it. What we have, which is very different, and we have to be careful because sometimes we take on that kind of thinking because we go to heaven or hell and that's the end of it. But actually, the Bible always talks about a resurrection. And this is, see, when Paul went to talk to the Greeks, they listened to him and they enjoyed listening to him. As soon as he mentioned resurrection, they kind of couldn't cope, because it's something different. They didn't mind all the, well, we have a life after death. They weren't atheists. They could understand that. But it's because our destiny isn't in a spirit world. Our destiny is raised from the dead to have a new body. Anyway, because it says, if I find that first. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. When I was looking through this, I thought, this is quite amazing. This is Jesus' mission. It's to save us, is that right? To save us. Was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. So everything, all things. It's not people, it's all things. There's redemption for everything, or healing for everything. Whether things on earth, I don't know if you class yourself as a thing, but it says things on earth, or things in heaven. I thought that was really interesting. To reconcile things in heaven to himself. Have a think on that one. That made me think. I wondered, I won't go into all that, but to reconcile all things, things on earth, things in heaven. See, everything, he has the right to everything. Not everyone wants the right to come under him, but he has the right to everything. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Somehow, by his sacrifice, everything can be reconciled to him. And this is a picture of who this Jesus is. So, he was in the beginning. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. So, God comes and dwells amongst us. His mission, to reconcile all things, whether in heaven or on earth, to himself. And then in Isaiah it says, for to us a child is born. It's like a Christmas message, isn't it? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. So it could be Wonderful / Counselor, or Wonderful Counselor. Yeah? Don't mind whether he's Wonderful Counselor or Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. So this is who he is, Mighty God. Do you think of Jesus as Mighty God? Or do you think of Jesus as man? He's both, you know. Everlasting Father. That's a title for him. Interesting, isn't it? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So these are a few extra titles thrown in there. So he's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So he's Emmanuel, God with us. And again, we see it there, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, so he's eternal. And it was interesting because if I had the right words, you'd say, who is God? If you were in a theology class, and you'd say, well, he's omnipotent, omnipresent. I can't remember the other one. There's a few of them. And in a way, it's saying he is beyond everything. He's big. He created everything. But he's everywhere at the same time. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. Yeah. But it's coming down. We're going to see that through these words. Because he's mighty God, everlasting Father. So he goes on for eternal. So he's eternal. He's Prince of Peace. His government, his knowledge, his understanding, his order is just going to grow and grow till it fills, well, I could say, the universe. He will reign on David's throne, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. It's what everyone craves, is justice and righteousness. It's what we all want. We love this. Everyone complains about their governments because they want justice. It's what everybody wants, justice and righteousness. Everybody wants it. Usually for themselves, particularly. I want justice for myself. You know, I don't like that what that person did to me. God, this Jesus came to show us all this. He is the image of God. If you saw God, Jesus, what might you ask him to do? You know, if you physically saw him, what might you ask him? We've all got things that we might ask him. But he calmed the storm. He multiplied food. He turned water into wine. He healed people. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He spoke life, peace, forgiveness, truth, direction, wisdom, blessing, hope, and the future. Those are things that he spoke. I think we'd like to have any of those, wouldn't we? Or all of them. But that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God with us. When he came to show us who God is. So when it says Emmanuel, God with us, it's very significant because he's not just a prophet. He's not a good man. He's much, much bigger than those things. And if you look at most of other religions that kind of half connected with Christianity, the crux is, what title do they give Jesus? Is he God, or is he a God? So there's a sort of significant difference. Or like when I say a God, I mean like a son of God. So it's playing around with words that lower him, because some would say we're all sons of God. And you kind of sort of accept that, wouldn't we? If I said, oh, well, we're all sons of God, you kind of understand that. And there's the difference between something like that phrase and saying he is God. And others say, oh, well, he's a prophet. They're not being bad about him. Most people would love to see Jesus, so they say. And but we have to try and get into our heads, he is God come down to us. He's not just a good guy, a good teacher, a helpful person. Well, he is all those. He is a prophet. But he's more than that. And most other religions like to lower him somewhere. It's very difficult to cope with Jesus being God. And that's the difference when we say he is God. But that's what the prophet said. When go right back to Isaiah, before he ever came, therefore the Lord is talking about God, will give you a sign. Virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. That's the significance of it, that he is God come to earth. He's the God-man. And what's interesting, God-man, Jesus, who before that was kind of spirit God, or whatever, I don't quite know what he was, but he chose to become man. He has become man and will eternally be man now. See, because when we see him, he's taken man to heaven, and when heaven and earth come together, Jesus is going to dwell amongst us forever in that form. So he kind of chose to be one of us. So I think I'll just finish on the importance of recognizing Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah? God with us. And I will pick up a few other ones as I go through, but I thought I'd start with that because I think that was one of the first titles when he was born was given to show the importance of who he was. And it took him all his time with his disciples to try and get that message across, and they didn't really get it across completely. He died, he rose, and then slowly the penny started to drop. They said things, and it kind of half went in, and in the end they kind of like, they worshipped him. They understood who he was. He's God with us. He's the God-man. Fully God, fully man. And I close at that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your great plan, you gave of yourself, that you became in the form of Jesus, became man, fully man, walked and dwelt amongst us. You lived, you breathed, you limited yourself, you limited what you could do. You control that power, that great self-control over yourself. You became man so that you could rescue us, that you could restore all things back to how they should be. We ask that you would help us to grasp hold of this and live in it, that we would follow you and give you the honour that you are worthy of. In Jesus' name, Amen.